Are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. We are on our way, but we're not there, right? We're close. Now, what does close mean? It may mean a lot of things. It may mean that we're close to celebrating the 25th, right? Guess what? The 25th this year is going to be on a Sunday. Oh, that's exactly what I said in January. Oh, it's going to be on a Sunday. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to have a service just as always. And we also are going to have a service on the 24th at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So please, you're welcome to come and share that with us. Yeah. But you know that Advent is a season of challenges. Advent is not always the joy to the world, right? You know that song that comes up and all the Christmas song that come on the radio. It's not always that simple. This is a season that can be a celebration and it can be a trial. It can be a time of joy or it can be a time of grief. There's all kinds of emotions that are going out in the time of December as we wait, right, for that day and that celebration. And I really have not figured out why. I don't get it. To me, it's mind-boggling. Is it because Christmas is sort of an artificial instrument in our calendar, you know, something that we just place there and when we've grown accustomed to having, but we don't know exactly what it is? Is that what sets the mood for us? I don't know. Is it because of a cultural mold that we have created that comes along with this celebration, or is it that we have just figured that there's a paradigm that has come through the ages of celebrating this holiday? Maybe it's the moon. Maybe it has to do with all those shifts, right? All the alignments of the planets, the sun. I don't know. How much control do we have in our response to a season? I remember something. When we announced that we needed help to decorate and put the Christmas tree up, there were several people here, right, Norma?
I remember.
Interesting. You know, somehow we are motivated to put up the lights. But I know, there's too many questions to start a sermon. Maybe we should just enjoy the ride, right? Maybe we should just live the days and enjoy the celebrations. I know that Judith was showing some of the ladies at home the other day about our celebrations, right? About this, the music in Puerto Rico. And the tuna, right? La tunas and all the music. Puerto Rico is interesting. Ernesto is from Puerto Rico. We celebrate from the time that we start thinking about Christmas all the way to after Christmas to the end of January. And if they give us the opportunity, we take February and we celebrate it too. Right? Why? Why? Well, Christmas is just quite a season, and as we said, you know, we put up lights. Sometimes even these lights are offensive to others. I heard this week about this fellow in Florida who had so many lights in his house, and so many little decorations that thousands of people come every day. Guess what happened to him? He got sued by the city because it was a nuisance to the neighborhood. It's complicated, isn't it? But it's just a celebration. So what's so much hoopla about it? Well, I'll tell you what. The birth of our Savior is no small thing. It has been celebrated for centuries. And is still causing all kinds of havoc. So, as we hear even the prophets describing the time before the birth of Jesus, we're confronted with a prophetic scenario, which makes us wonder and ponder about his birth. And when we read in Isaiah 11, we have a story here that speaks of something very specific to me. A story of resurgence. Now, we spoke last week about the kingdom of Israel and you know, the split that they had, the exile, you know, all that story that is behind the book of Isaiah. And we also spoke about Judah and as that remaining symbol. Remember? You're with me? Right? That remaining symbol of the people of God. And we hear here that out of the shambles of the demise of the Assyrians who had power over Israel, Isaiah describes a resurgence to come. A reality which is not yet. And you know the tension that comes with having something painted for you but not being there yet. Right? How many people have a birthday this month? We had a few, right? So, you know that anticipation that we have, right? Well, it's going to be the 5th, or it's going to be the 20th. It's going to be the 22nd, but it's not there yet. And there's some tension, some anticipation of that moment. Well, in many ways, that's what the prophetic language creates. There's a picture of a leader. You know the shoot that is talking about, that is coming out of the stump of Jesse? You know who Jesse is, right? Yeah? Jesse is the David's dad. And you remember David? David and Goliath, right? Yeah. He became king. And there's this image of a shoot coming out of a stump. Now, a stump is a tree or a plant that's been cut. Right? Something has happened to that tree which eliminated life. But, as you well know, many times when you cut a tree or a plant or a bush, something comes out of it. In our house in Wheat Ridge, we had this bush that we cut, and every year we had to cut it again. Because in just a matter of 6 months, this thing would come back up. Well, it so happens that Jesse is that symbol of Judah. And out of Judah, the King David, comes this shoot. The resurgence of a king. And a kingdom. So, it's speaking about a spiritual renaissance. It's speaking about something that comes back up. The Spirit of the Lord rests in him. It says, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, of knowledge, and might, of the fear of the Lord. It's a spiritual resurgence. It's something that is coming back with everything that we really need. I mean, I don't know about you, but I need wisdom, right? I need to gain access to God's counsel. I need the knowledge. I need the strength. I need all these things for my life. And here is one that comes as a vision, as it says, of delighting in the Lord. One who delights in the vision of God for the world. He says, his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Now, if you think of that statement, we try to put ourselves in that same picture. What would be your delight? Where would it lie? You see, because even in the season of Advent, we may be delighting on all kinds of things, right? Lights, decorations, you know, all the superficial things that we have to set the mood for ourselves. But here we have one that is delighting himself in the Lord. He says that his judgment will not be as ours. Because we judge by what we and what we hear. We are limited by our senses. But he will overcome all that. He will see behind the curtain. Remember, what you see is not what you get. Remember that? So he will see beyond. He's going to transcend all the limitations that we have. So I don't know about you, but when I hear of this person, leader, who has that ability, maybe this is someone that I want to pay attention to. Maybe this is someone that I would like to try to follow. If he comes equipped with all these good things, maybe this is someone that I want to hear. He will be equitable with the poor and tough with the wicked. Yeah, what do these things mean for us in the time of Advent, Christmas? How we look, how do we look at this description in light of our current lives? Whether that means a time where we're raising little ones or a time where we are already pushing them out of the home. or maybe a time when we are looking at grandkids and enjoying their time. You know, what does that mean for us? Maybe a time of unemployment or gaining new employment. A time that we're rushing to get things for ourselves. What does it mean? What's the message for us? Well, maybe the question is, how do we prepare ourselves, right? Advent is that expectation of what's coming. Maybe that is the question. How do we prepare ourselves for our resurgence. A transformation of our own emotional state. How do we prepare ourselves to be sensible to God's Spirit? To show us the way. To show us what is the spirit of the season. Can we say that our delight is in the fear of the Lord? Can we say that this is what we yearn for in our daily lives? Lord, come, Jesus, come. Can we say this is what is in our hearts? See, the last 2 weeks we have contemplated the part that we play in the future picture, right? That part that we are playing even as we come and go week to week. How we co-create with God. How do we participate in what God is doing in our lives? And the question is, how is our vision in parallel with God's? So that we can realign that future. What does discipleship look like in light of Advent? Okay, I know what you're thinking. Pastor, stop, okay? Enough with the questions. Let's just enjoy Christmas. Right? I mean, it's simpler, isn't it? Let's just take it as it is. Let's go with the flow. But you see, the last section of this, or the middle section of this passage, gets us into a passage that we have read before. We read it a couple of weeks ago. Remember? Lions, lying together with lambs and other animals, and chewing grass like oxes and straw, and I mean strange things, right? We heard that in Isaiah 65. So Isaiah 65 is echoing something that is already being said in this context. And when we read that description of all these animals being together, I don't know what you're thinking about. It is strange. Maybe what it speaks about is shalom. You know what shalom is? Peace. Anybody?
Peace.
It's the state where I would like to be. No worries, no fear about anything that is going on around us. Peace. But peace, not like the world gives it, right? Because there's always something in the news talking about peace. Or in the songs. But that is not it. It's peace only as Jesus can provide. Now, those images are representing the theme of the second week of Advent, peace. When we light these candles, we're not just doing a ritual, right? This is not something that we do so that we can fill a part in our program. We're inviting the Spirit of God, being represented by the light, to come and dwell in this place, right?
Yes.
And signified something for us. And when we see these animals, I don't know about you, but I was thinking, how would it have been in the Garden of Eden? Right? How did the first human beings experience God's presence? How did the animals hang around together? So it can be a realization, or maybe even a recreation on how things were back then. So we look at the future in these images and it's like, hey, things are going to be as they were designed. Creation is not going to be looked at in the evolutionary experience, right? That perspective that we hear, that survival of the fittest. That I'm going to take over somebody else's things because I deserve them more. There's an image that Paul says in Romans 8, verse 22. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. You hear what's behind that? It's like there is something that we're waiting for. There is something that is yearned for. A reality that is not yet. You're the King of Kings. And all creation groans and longs for redemption of our physical selves. It seems like nature is in bondage to sin, just as we are. In the sense that is not as it was described in Genesis. That reality in existence is not as that. So this representation of what Isaiah is telling us is that there will be a time when we will be redeemed. Fully, when you and I are going to be in a different state, even our physical selves, even all creation, and then you and I will experience peace. And that is the hope we have. That it is not yet, but we can almost see it. It's not quite there, but we can almost experience it. It's that peaceful hope that the King brings. And perhaps the tension of the season of Christmas is just that spiritual reminder for us that we're not complete. That reminder for us that we're not quite fully realized in Christ. And, you know, I was thinking of that emotional state that a lot of people feel during this season. And maybe that is a dissonance with what we expect and what we experience. But in the future, in a time that we don't know when, in a time that we are expecting, we will experience shalom. Amen. We will be there in the presence of God, and we will see things that we have never imagined before. We do live in the hope of peace. the prevenient time, the time before, the anteroom of God's promise fulfilled. That's where we're at. Now, it may not be comfortable being there. Right?
No.
It may not be comfortable being in our present experience. When we hear of rumors and wars, when we hear people experiencing things in Aleppo that are beyond our comprehension, when we see homelessness, how can we say joy to the world? How can we say, the Prince of Peace is part of our lives, when it's not quite there yet? Well, there's part of the Bible that says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen?
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. So delighting in that vision of God and His kingdom is overcome only that joy that comes from knowing Him. And in that knowledge, we find peace. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for the images that we have seen here in Isaiah. And even though sometimes they're difficult to understand and difficult to see through, we can see that there's something, a picture painted for us, a future that is not yet. I pray that for everyone that is here, for each one of us, that picture may give us strength. That knowledge may give us what we need to continue the journey. To have that expectation, even the tension of the not yet, but have hope. We pray in Jesus Christ. Amen.